Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cody Decker in for Evan. I just saw a story in the Post that the 9/11 Museum is shutting down today. They somehow ran out of money because of COVID. And went from like 300,000 annual visitors down to 26,000, I guess, a year ago. Like, how do you let the 9/11 Museum ever shut down? I don't get that at all. So it's sad. If you never got a chance to go through it, it was one of the most emotional experiences of my lifetime, being able to walk through it. I couldn't get to the whole thing. But I would think that there's got to be a way for somebody to come up with the dough, the city, the state, wealthy donors or something, to make sure that that's a museum that never shuts down. So I just read that story that the 9/11 Museum closes its doors for good, I guess, at the end of the day today, which sucks because they did a really good job with it. And it was a great way to honor the memory of all those people we lost and all the brave, you know, first responders that we didn't lose, who were part of, transforming Lower Manhattan in the way they did. But I just saw that. I can't believe that. Anyway, joining us in studio is Brian. Brian reached out as a diehard Met fan and invited him in. So how you doing today?
Good, Craig.
How long have you been a Met fan?
Since they started counting, right?
Since they started counting. He was telling me off air, Cody, that as a child, he would lock himself in his room and watch Met fans, Met games, rather, and listen to WFAN radio like all day, every day, to the point where his parents thought there was something wrong with him, which is really the case for a lot of Met fans. But it's nice to have you here. Don't be nervous at all. And we'll do some calls and we'll get your take on the Mets, okay?
Well, the 20-year-old version of me is freaking out, but I'm going to try to keep it together now that
yes.
I'm 40 and, you know, an adult.
40, an adult, wearing a soccer jersey and a hat on backwards on TV.
A young adult
who thought that this was the best first impression to make. Let me wear NYCFC jersey.
The only team in New York to currently hold the championship.
That is right? True. They're the only current champion in New York. And is that an NYCFC hat as well?
It's not. It's a,
just a regular hat.
Golf course.
Makes you probably feel comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Probably got a bad haircut or something.
Not a bad haircut. It was yesterday. I wanted a clean cut for this, but then I get nervous the day or two after haircut. I like to go in a bit. So.
And how concerned are you as a diehard Met fan that the Mets don't win tonight with Scherzer on the mound only because of what that would mean kind of, I don't say globally, but losing a game with him on the mound against the team that's chasing you would indicate that there's worry, that there's something. Like, as good as you've been the last 3 weeks, you're not there yet.
No, they're not there yet, but I think there's always worry as a Met fan. And truthfully, Cody, I'd love your take on this as a former ball player. It's still August, right? And, you know, they lose tonight, they win tomorrow.
Yeah, back up to 3.5. And you got, what,
I know you'll enjoy the show tomorrow if they lose tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking at it selfishly. I just want them to lose because
I think a little bit
tomorrow
about the overwhelming Yankee angst that, you know, you've been dealing with, I think you just are trying to deflect a bit.
Well, to be fair, I'm tired of hearing Yankee fans bitch and moan with a 9-game lead because the Yankees aren't scoring any runs, but I respect it. I know that's how Yankee fans feel. So for me, again, being totally selfish, I hope the Mets lose tonight because it makes my job more fun tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
And if you'll indulge me, because I probably waited my whole life to do this, I would just like to say this now that I have the opportunity.
Yeah.
the Yankee fans, please stop whining. I mean, wow. I've been here all day. You know, I tell my son I'm going to call the whining police. And, you know, this is what I'm going to tell the Yankee fans. Just stop it.
See? There you go. Everyone wants to be a WFAN host. That's all. Well, here's your chance. Josh is in Port Washington. Josh, how you doing?
Craig, Cody, Brian, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Brian, congratulations, man. This has got to be exciting for you. So I just wanted to say that.
It is.
I know, Craig, you're trying to put this panic, this fear that Yankee fans are feeling right now into Mets fans. I think that's a Wilpon mentality, if any true Mets fan is really feeling that right now. I want you to do me a favor, Craig. I want you to look up for me while I ask Cody and Brian a question. Google the Mets schedule and bring up from September 1st on. And Cody and Brian, either record-wise, opinion-wise, tell me the four worst teams in the National League.
Well, let Cody do that because I don't know if Brian follows it close enough.
I know where he's going. He's going to tell you we're going to play him, and that's sort of my point. Once the Mets get through the Dodgers, right, mm-hmm. that's what you're talking about?
They have the Pirates, the Nationals, the Marlins, and the Cubs. Almost the entire month of September, they play the worst teams in baseball, while the Braves play, as soon as they're done with the Mets, they play the Astros for three. They have Seattle on the road, a playoff team. They got Philly a bunch of times. They'll beat each other up. I'm not worried at all. And if I get it, it'll make great radio tomorrow if we lose tonight.
Listen, I'm with you. The month of September, which I think I alluded to about a half hour ago, on a piece of paper, the Mets schedule's pretty easy. You're right.
Of course. Of course. Now, Craig, I have one more Mets point, but I do want to ask you a quick Jets point. I know it's not the topic. Flacco goes 2-0. We beat the Ravens and the Browns. Zach's healthy week three. Do you think Joe and Rob Saleh have pressure to keep Flacco going, or you think they immediately just go back to Zach?
Yeah, it's a great question I brought up on Monday. And I'll tell you, for me as a fan, now, my answer as a fan, I imagine it's going to be a lot different than what the Jets actually do. But to play it out, let's say Zach Wilson's ready to go, totally healthy, week two, and they go, oh, we're just going to push you back 1 week, so he's going to start week three. If the New York Jets are 2-0 after 2 weeks and the offense looks competent at the bare minimum, me as a fan, I want Joe Flacco playing game three. I've never once been a guy that says you can't lose your job because of injury. Now, especially when you're an unproven commodity. If you're telling me Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and he comes back, he's ready to go in week three, I don't care what the record is, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. We have anointed Zach Wilson as the second coming of Joe Namath. I've done it as much as anybody. I said when they drafted him, we just got our Dan Marino, right? But he hasn't done it yet. So again, if you want to play out that fantasy that the New York Jets beat Baltimore, that they beat the Cleveland Browns without Deshaun Watson, and they're getting ready for game three, and they're 2-0, I think there would be, what's the word I'm looking for amongst the fan base? There would be a riot amongst the fan base if they decided to bring Zach Wilson back. That's how I view it. But I don't know who you guys root for. Well, you're a Raider fan. I know that, Cody. It'd be, well, see, Derek Carr is different. He's a proven commodity, right? Yeah. So you'd bring him back because he's Derek Carr. Are you a Jet fan or a Giant fan?
Giant. But they have the same Giant thing, right? Fan. If Jones goes down same thing.
Yeah, like if Daniel Jones went down and Tyrod Taylor goes 2-0 and you have game three and Daniel Jones is cleared by the medical staff, he's like, I'm ready to go. And they didn't start Tyrod Taylor, Giant fans would throw a fit. Rightfully so, right? Now, there are some guys who I think injury should not be the reason why they lose their job. But there's not a lot of those guys. There are some, however, right? That's how I view it. Boy, now you got me itching to talk football. Because the New York Jets are going to be 2-0 with Joe Flacco. You could write that down now in blood if you'd like. Matter of fact, Cody, maybe get another tattoo. Maybe get like a little Joe Flacco tattoo on your chest. Something like that.
How about this? If Joe Flacco leads this team to like a 4-0 start, I'll get a Joe Flacco tattoo on my chest. Are you kidding me? I'm that confident it's not going to happen. That being said, if it happens, this is going to really suck.
I want to make sure we have that. So listen, we're men. We say we're going to do something, we do it, right? We have the virtual handshake. I know you have tattoos on your arms and whatnot.
I do have tattoos. I do have tattoos.
So this would not be like your first tattoo, because getting Joe Flacco as your first tattoo would be that's a tough sell at home. But would you get a picture of Joe Flacco, or would you get like his name?
That, listen, there's no good or correct answer. The answer is bad no matter what, which one I give you. At least if I get like a badly drawn Joe Flacco, it'll be hilarious. If I just get my name, I'm not getting Joe Flacco branded on me as name.
I think it's better for me if you got the name Joe Flacco.
Almost like the jersey Flacco on his back. He just spells out
How
Flacco.
About that? You get
a real life jersey.
You get a Jet jersey tattooed on your chest with Flacco on the back of it. How's that?
This is what I will do, because right now I have a lot of chest hair at the moment. I normally keep it a little tame, but I have to. I have a bet I have to pay off. I got to get my chest partially waxed next week because I made a bad decision on a radio show, like I'm doing this exact second.
Yeah.
I would be more than willing to shave in or even wax in the Joe Flacco jersey into my chest. And then on the back, listen, I'm not going to tattoo Flacco and his number on my back, but I'll definitely go henna and go and make it temporary. But if we need to actually put like Joe Flacco permanently on my body, we're going to have to go within my own like half sleeve tattoo. And it's got to kind of be snuck in there, man. I need my wife to sleep with me at least some point in my life.
I got you. Like, I would allow for you to pay this off. I would allow you to put just like the initials JF. That way you can make up what it is. I'd allow that.
I'd be willing to do that. I would just tell somebody who's like, oh, that's the original logo of PF Flyers.
Yeah, something stupid, right? All right, so there you go. So if Joe Flacco leads the Jets to a 4-0 record, Cody's coming back on the show. And I guess, you know, I guess we have to pay for it, but we'll take care of that. No
problem. You guys got to tap me live on the show. That's what it's got to be.
If the New York Mets win a World Series, Brian, would you get a Met tattoo on your body? You said you're a lifelong diehard Mets fan.
I'm just not a tattoo guy.
Yeah, but how old were you in 86?
I would do something else.
How old were you in 86?
Five,
so you don't really remember.
Correct.
You've seen the videos.
Correct.
So it probably feels like a memory, but you don't remember it in real life. So if your favorite team, I assume they're your favorite team of all teams?
Yeah, them and the Rangers.
All right, so them are a hockey fan. Them and the New York Rangers. So if either, let's just use Mets because we're talking about it now and it's low-hanging fruit. The Mets win a World Series. This World Series this year. What are we doing? Are you anything? You putting something
think,
on like
I
your back shoulder blade?
To a tattoo.
You have a, like,
I would
like,
do something that would
on your
you
butt
know,
cheek,
be,
maybe a tattoo.
You know,
something like that.
Maybe.
Is your wife a Met fan?
Sure,
she is. Okay, so she would understand lifelong fandom.
He's gonna love this now, man. My father-in-law has a. has a Yankee logo and a Dodger logo because he's from New York but lives in L.A.
Okay.
Tattooed, real tattoo.
Right. On his wrists?
On both of his wrists.
Wow.
Because
he's confused.
And I'll never forget when he got it recently.
Yeah.
He just started
what do you
getting
mean he got
tattooed.
It recently.
He got it like in the last 5 years.
Your father-in-law.
Correct.
So, like, how old a gentleman are we talking about?
You know, he got it probably around when he was 60 years old, you know.
So, his first tattoo is at 60. He got the Yankee logo and the Dodger logo?
Correct. And he showed it to me in so much excitement. And look, you know, to each their own. And he looks at me in the eye and says, nobody in the world has this.
I agree 100% with that.
I said false, and I just Googled it, and a lot of people have it.
Oh, is that right?
Because they're iconic logos. It's the NY, and it's LA. There's like 9 celebrities that did it, you know. And
really?
I
would have thought that's like
tattoo.
The most unique thing ever. Who would get both?
Which is why he did it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, if you wouldn't go tattoo, I got a different idea. What if we got you like a diamond-studded belly button ring that has the New York Mets logo in it? You have to keep it in for a year.
Oh, that's better because it's removable. It's not
Why do I do my tongue? I don't know if I want my belly button.
No, you can't do your tongue.
Why?
Because don't you have a job?
Yeah, but
I assume you work for a living,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but my belly button.
You're going to show up
like...
at the job with a New York Met tongue ring?
You're not. I mean, you can have tongue rings in work.
Yeah, but what, so when's the last time you went to work wearing a belly shirt?
No, I'm just saying if you reach up, someone catches it and what's that?
Like you're in the, hey, Brian, give me a couple stacks of paper.
Yeah.
Whoop.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they saw my belly ring.
They saw my bling on my belly.
All right. Well, you'll figure something out.
Know how that looks, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, that probably looked better on my belly.
For all of us, it looked a lot better 10 or 15 years ago. Here's David in Glen Rock. David, how are you?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Thanks doing good. What's going on?
Nice talking to you, Cody. Welcome to the show, man.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Greg, I just want to let you know the tribute, the 9/11 Museum is not closing. It's the Tribute Museum on Greenwich Street that's closing.
Oh, okay. So it's not the museum right next to the...
The museum, thank goodness, will still and always be there, hopefully.
But
you know, because when I heard you say that, I'm like, I'm thinking of people going like, what the hell, putting their hands, you know, throwing their hands up in the air.
Yeah.
It's the Tribute Museum, first museum that opened.
So the one on Liberty Street stays, is what you're saying, yeah?
Correct, yeah. It's the one on Greenwich Street that was like, it was almost like a temporary memorial kind of museum, and then they kept it for a long, long time. But I guess with the addition of the museum, which will be there permanently over the years, that this one is closing.
Got it. All right. Well, it's good to know. I'm glad you are correcting me on that, because I thought, you know, the museum that I, as many of you, have walked through, which is a very emotional day, was being shut down for financial reasons. But good to know that there are two, and that one's going to stay open right by those amazing kind of inverted water fountains, which are amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And if nobody's, you know, if you're listening and haven't been there, it's an absolute must. And, you know, if you go with someone like that gets impatient with museums and stuff like that, you got to go yourself, because you definitely want to take that in at your own pace.
Yeah, and I'll say this. If you do go, you know, however you go, whether you do go by yourself or with family or whatever, I highly recommend that you go and you get the headphones that they give you.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
It's the perspective of those headphones and the audio and the news broadcast and everything just amplifies the experience. And every New York school child from sixth grade on, it should be a mandated event that they go to that museum. And I appreciate you checking in.
Yeah, not only that, Craig, but I think it's the one thing that for... You know, as long as we're alive and people after us, even who haven't lived through it, I think it's that one thing that'll continue to have such a bone-chilling effect on people for, you know, 100, 200, 300 years, no matter whether you lived through it or heard stories or read about it, whatever. It is that heavy duty when you walk through
there. Yeah, I agree.
Even more so, I've been to the Holocaust Museum in D.C., which is also incredible. But even more so than that museum, this is bone-chilling.
Yeah, I agree. That's the best way to put it. So I appreciate checking in on that, David. So I want to make sure the information is right. And speaking of museums, another museum opened up. It's a couple weeks ago now. That was long in the making. And that's the Jackie Robinson Museum, which is down here in Tribeca, which opened up. Brian, are you there?
I've been
there. You see the museum, right?
Yep.
Which is amazing, I imagine.
Amazing.
I've not had the pleasure of being there yet, but I know that it's open now.
Varicon Canal.
Yeah, so people can go check that out as well. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
And awesome. Rachel Robinson is 100 years young and still doing her thing, which is amazing, because that's the embodiment of, that's American history in the flesh right there. And it's great that she was able to see the museum open. So lots of good stuff downtown for you guys to do. But I'm glad the 9/11 Museum is open.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
So since the All-Star break, the Yankees are 8-17, Big Mac. That's 9 games under 500. 8-17, and guess what? They still have a 9-game lead in the division.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
But you even seem a little fed up with them now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, a little frustrated.
Since the All-Star break, really it's been the last week and a half. They're 9 games under since the All-Star break. They're 10 games under the last 13 games. So it's been the last 2 weeks. But yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm very frustrated.
Yeah, it's because...
It's weighing on me. I couldn't sleep last night.
But I think it's because it's the manner in which they're losing.
Yes.
Like, if they lost a 6-5 game or... I don't know.
Clay Holmes blowing saves didn't really make me feel that much better about things.
Yeah, but I think there's one thing when you feel like, okay, I can blame all these losses on one guy. My closer sucks, right?
Yeah.
And it's simple to say, that's the guy. He's, you know... he's the reason. He's the cause or reason for the loss. I think it's a lot easier for us to have, like, the whipping boy, the guy that, the Joey Gallo, right?
Yeah.
I think when the entire team shuts down offensively, that's the frustrating part. Like, it's easy to yell at an Armando Benitez. Mm-hmm. It's easy to yell at, you know, right now, Clay Holmes, right? It's easy to yell at an individual player and say, the team's in a good place. It's that guy that stinks. Mm-hmm. But when you go three consecutive games with essentially not scoring a single run, when you're 9 games under 500 since the All-Star break, you can't do that. It's everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem.
And the good teams, right, and this is where the Yankees might be lacking, right, I don't know if they have in the last few weeks, they would still win another, you know, 1-0 game, right? The Mets haven't been hitting. They won, you know, against Philly. They find a way to win. One or two just to balance it out.
What I don't know, and Cody, you could speak to this better than Brian or myself or Big Mac, is assuming at some point in your career you were on a team that was really, really good, won a lot of games. When you get to a place like that where the Yankees were, like the Yankees were 30 games over 500 in July. Is there anything tangible that you can point to baseball fans, or in this case, Yankee fans, and maybe Met fans at some point, where you can sense guys not putting in the work they used to put in, concentration, distractions, any of that stuff that we might be able to say, oh, okay, I get it. That makes sense.
Yes. I mean, I've been through it. And, like, I never played on a team, obviously, like the Yankees, obviously, because I'm going to use examples that are from the minor leagues. So, for example, though, I was on minor league team of the year 3 years in a row. And two of those 3 years, we won 105 games. And this is back in the day when minor league seasons were only 137 games. So winning 105 games in a season is a lot of games. And I was on two of those teams. And yeah, we even hit some tough patches. 30 losses in a season, and we got 10 of them in a 2-week span at one point. We got no hit by the Texas Rangers AA affiliate, and we answered back by trading for that pitcher to be on our starting staff a week later.
Really? So there was an immediate reaction to it so that the team didn't allow the losing streak to linger on. Wow, and that's just the AA level.
as much as I want to pretend that's the fact, it was because they made the Padres made a trade with the Texas Rangers, and we got lucky that we picked up that guy,
okay,
and he came over to our team.
I got
but you. it was one of those things that guys get lazy to.
So not lazy, when lazy, guy,
the wrong word.
When Aaron Boone comes out yesterday and says, and I'm paraphrasing here, the guys are pressing. Like, what is? How do you press when you've been at bat? How do you press when you make a defensive mistake? Like, what does that even mean? Guys are pressing.
Yeah, it's a vague term, but let me explain it to you. My time, how about this? It's like the yips. I know the yips is something that we giggle at or something like that, but it's a real thing. Guys get it all the time. Guys get it while playing golf. When you're sitting there in front of no one with a 3-foot putt and you miss it by an inch and a half, no one was watching this. In this scenario, 40,000 people are right in front of you watching it, not to mention everybody at home and everybody that has comments about it online. I went to the big leagues. I didn't get the chance to really play any ball games. I got there, I got 10 at bats. I went 0-for-10. I went 0-for-10 plenty of times in my career, but these were all pinch hit at bats. And by the time I got my 8th at bat, I practically didn't even want to go up there. I was up there with so much anxiety. I'm like, what the hell? I'm the biggest power hitter in that is currently living in the history of the minor leagues. And I'm up here getting pinch hit at bats against a young Kenley Jansen, who's the best closer in the game. And I'm struggling because I've never done this before. And I found myself starting to press. And when I say press, a little thing. So like, I got to get a hit here. I got to get a hit here. And when you're sitting there thinking, I got to get a hit, I got to get this done, this has to get done right now, you're thinking the wrong thing.
So,
because the game is a marathon.
Let me ask you this. Is a good example of that why Joey Gallo is suddenly showing a resurgence in L.A.? Because the boo birds are not there, the newspaper articles are not being written, the talk show hosts are not talking about him, the pressure isn't there. He can go up there and kind of be free mentally to go out there and just do his thing. Is that a fair example?
Yes. It's a fair example, but Joey Gallo, I know the comments that he made it seem like he was kind of blaming everybody.
Yeah.
He'll take plenty of responsibility of the poor play he had in New York. I think it's just a new I always hate that phrase, a new scenery, fresh start.
He needs a fresh start, yeah.
Yeah, I always hated that, but in this one particular case, Joey Gallo desperately needed a fresh start. Let's be real honest. There was not a single person
100%.
In New York. There's no one in New York that wanted him there.
The guy came out and said he literally was a hermit in New York City. Multi-millionaire, good-looking guy. Wouldn't walk the streets of New York City on an off day. Had his parents come clean up his apartment for him. Like, that's crazy. Right?
I think it's a bit over. Listen, I think it's a bit overboard. I think if Joey Gallo is walking down the streets, he might get a couple of comments.
Well,
but for the most part,
I don't think anybody would have known who the hell he was in New York City. That's the beauty of being in New York now. If he played in Philly or maybe Boston or maybe some other smaller towns, I understand a guy like that not wanting to show his face, in a local steakhouse. I get it because he's going to be booed. But the other reality is that very few people do that to your face. Like, so Brian, you're a Met fan. Like, you may have booed in your lifetime Kevin McReynolds. I assume he's a guy that you hated, right? But if you saw Kevin McReynolds at a steakhouse, are you really going to go, hey, you suck?
No, I'm also not a big... I'm not a big booer.
Yeah, neither is Evan.
I never really understood that. I get frustrated, but I don't know. The booing,
You're not a booer.
If you like the team, you need to be somewhat positive. I'm just not a boo guy.
Just so I know what I'm doing with
you.
Cody, you ready for this? You're not a booer. Do you keep score of baseball games while you watch them?
No.
Have you ever?
Yeah, when I was a kid, sure.
I don't mean like at the game, like sitting at home.
No, not at home. But I've done it at the game when I was a kid.
Well,
that's how I grew up going.
Fine. Yeah. Like when you're 8 years old and you're at the game, that's one of the things like that gets passed down.
Like I'm not scoring the Little League World Series game that's on ESPN right now.
Big Mac is tonight. He was telling
me. Right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Last night, had a martini and scored the baseball game.
Had a martini.
That's right. That's an adult thing to do.
Did you get the blue cheese stuffed olives or
I made my own.
Did you really?
Yes.
Don't lie to me.
I swear.
You took chunky blue cheese, shoved them in the green olive.
My father-in-law gave us some Gorgonzola cheese, which is the same as blue
same
cheese.
Same thing, yeah. So from the restaurant?
From the restaurant.
So let me just get this right.
So I bought olives previously.
I want to set the scene
son, which is amazingly enough, the 5-year-old, he won't eat chicken nuggets, but he loves Gorgonzola cheese, which is bizarre.
That's very random.
Random. So every once in a while, we'll get a big chunk of gorgonzola cheese because they know Tommy likes it, and I take a little bit and make my own stuffed olives.
So this is what I love. This is called blue-collar bougie.
How do you get it in? In his pocket?
How do you get what in?
The olives in
the his in-laws own an Italian restaurant.
Oh, I thought it was at the stadium.
No, he does, like Evan, they sit at home with the popcorn.
I was like, that's pretty cool. You drank a martini, scored the game, and sat in the Yankees outfield.
No, he was not at the game. He has the Bob Carpenter scorebook, so I want to get this right. You sat at home last night. Now, did you watch the game live, or did you watch it after you put the kids to bed on DVR?
Well, after I put the kids to bed on DVR.
Wife asleep as well?
She was watching with me for a little bit and doing her own stuff. Okay. She wasn't asleep the whole game.
So you're sitting there.
Yes.
Yankees Tampa last night. Kids go to bed. You start the game a little late.
Yeah.
So you put the phone away. So you've, two and a half hours late.
Yeah.
Wow.
I get home at 8:30.
No, I get you. That's true.
So I'm with the kids. I talk to the wife.
And you totally shut down the phone, so you have no idea.
Correct.
That the Yankees are again being held scoreless, and you're going to frustrate the hell out
of
yourself.
I do my best to pretend I'm watching
it live.
Could
have saved yourself a couple hours last night.
Can you do that? I can't do that. I have to check scores. I can't record games.
I can't check. I can't do it.
I shut off the...
He does it, Evan does.
That's impressive.
People text me.
I want to get this right. Yeah. About 10 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
You sit down, Bob Carpenter's scorebook.
Yep.
You put the Yankee game on from the start of the game. You make yourself a little martini. Little vodka, little vermouth, shaken, stirred, not shaken.
Come on.
Yes.
You shake and waters it down. It breaks up the ice.
Okay. Stir it up.
Yes.
In a martini glass or in a regular glass? I got to ask.
I think I am some kind of rube. Yes, in a martini glass.
In a martini glass.
Of course. I drink martinis in martini glasses.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
You then find a couple what are those things called? Toothpicks.
Uh-huh.
You have the big green olive.
I have the big green olive.
And separate from the olive, you have a block of gorgonzola cheese.
Yes.
You decide, I'm going to stuff every olive with the gorgonzola cheese.
Yes.
Right?
That's correct.
And then you eat those as a snack, or you take a bite, have a sip, take a bite, have a sip.
No. Maybe I'll have one during the drink, but for the most part, the olives are after the drink is done.
And you drink the martini dirty.
Yes.
You like extra dirty.
Correct. I have my own olive juice.
I would love to see that picture.
You make your own olive juice?
No, I don't make. I mean, I buy.
You can buy it.
I buy olive juice. Yeah, not just if you use the juice in the jar, obviously, but I have olive juice.
Yeah, a lot of people, you could buy it. Like, if you're
bougie. My wife started yelling at me after there was just these dry bottles of olives in the entire fridge because I use more juice than I use the olives.
Yeah, if you go to liquor stores, even supermarkets, they sell just olive juice.
Yes.
For people like dirty martinis.
Yes.
I would love a picture of that.
Okay, tonight I'll send you a picture of my martini.
That's what we call like blue collar bougie.
Why is that blue collar bougie?
Because martini glass.
I mean,
pink in the air.
Onions? No onions.
No, I'm not an onion guy.
All those little pearl onions.
How many olives? Like when you're
three. It's got to be an odd number.
Three on one stick.
It's either one or three.
One or three. Yeah. I'm an even guy. You're an odd guy. Get it.
No, you don't have even olives. It's bad luck.
Is that bad luck?
Yeah, you never.
In Warwick, New York.
No, and everywhere. Google it. You do not.
Really?
In martinis, you do not put even number. No.
Is that right?
Yep.
I never knew that. I know you don't
100%.
Put your keys on the table. You don't whistle indoors.
No.
But I never knew that when you have a martini,
100%.
You have to have an odd number of olives.
Correct. I will never have a martini without an odd number of olives.
There
again.
You go.
You can't have two
now,
or four.
I never
that's,
knew.
That's bad
now
news.
I have a reason.
Yep.
Yeah, but this is also got these $12 shrimps.
Do bartenders get offended when you say make sure it's an odd number of olives?
I've never come across the issue where I've
really?
Had to stipulate.
The bartender knows.
I'll start looking.
There's
it's
one
like
thing,
a bartender etiquette. They know.
There's
they know
one. Well, there's one thing with martinis and bartenders. For the most part, I'm pretty lenient. But there's one thing where I'll cancel an order if they ask me if I want it straight up or on the rocks. If I go, I'll have a martini, and they go, straight up or on the rocks? I go, never mind, I'll have a...
Because you figure that the bartender's not legit, he's going to mess up the martini. What? Who gets a martini on the rocks?
Exactly. If it's even a question.
See...
No, you don't.
Wait, I don't like martinis.
Okay.
Because I don't like vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm going to order a drink that would normally come in a martini glass, I get it on the rocks in a normal glass.
Yeah.
I hate the martini glass because of this.
Yeah.
And what I'm basically doing is I'm holding a fake glass in my hands, and I can't do that.
Well, no, I don't hold it like that.
Cody's like that.
You don't need
too.
To hold it like that.
Cody's. Yeah, hold, how else are you going to hold it?
You hold it by the width of the cup.
No, you can't hold the martini glass.
Yeah, you do. You hold it like this.
It's like a
you hold it by the stem.
No, you don't hold it by the stem. Unless it's towards the end when there's hardly anything in it. When it's full, it's hard to balance just holding it by the stem. You grab it like this.
Cody's a bougie drinker.
Don't tell me about how to drink martinis.
Whoa. How am I a bougie drinker?
You are. You're a bougie drinker.
No, I'm not. I drink whiskey straight up or all with a large rock. That's it. Actually, you guys bring up a very good
can't
point.
Can't have normal ice. Has to have the large rock.
I want just enough to cool it down, not enough to change the taste or water down my whiskey.
Absolutely.
That's the way it's done.
Of course.
But you guys do bring up a very good point. What is your biggest pet peeve at a bar? Because I will tell you this. When I order like a tequila rock. Now, tequila, I'm willing to get that on the rocks. But like if I get a tequila rocks or if I just get a tequila neat or a whiskey neat. My biggest pet peeve at any bar, when they put a straw in it, I want to lose my mind. Aww. What am I going to do? Stir the whiskey into itself?
Yeah.
Like one of those stir straws or like a straw straw?
Like it's so hard to take the straw out.
Dude, don't, no. Yeah. I'm not looking.
Sorry to put you out, Cody.
Craigie,
there's no
listen
reason
to me.
For it to be in there. I agree.
There's a reason why. One, there's no reason for it to be in there, so that person did more work, which makes them stupid. Two, I'm not looking. I'm not looking, and if I'm not looking, that straw is going to hurt me. It's just going to stab me in the face every drink
Cody's
I go for.
Cody's nose got stabbed by the avocado straw in Santa Monica. Oh.
Listen.
Let's all feel bad for Cody Decker. Wow. Hey. Yeah,
I am right, Craigie. I don't care what you say. Do not put a straw in my whiskey. What is this, a sippy cup?
All right. Here's Tom in Levittown on the Fan. Tommy, what do you got?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
I couldn't help but jump in, even though it's not sports related.
Sure.
I'm a bartender by trade. Okay. First of all, you're asking if stirred or shaken.
Yes.
If it doesn't have citrus, you stir it.
Correct.
If it has citrus, you shake it.
That's correct.
The large cube, most bartenders just like cringe when you ask for the large cube. But if that's what you want,
yeah. You know, I'll tell you why they hate it, because it's usually in like a bottom freezer. It's a pain in the ass to pop out, and it takes time. Yes.
Whoa!
Exactly.
Why are you guys keeping it in the thing? Don't keep it in the thing. You pop it out before you open the bar. It's a pain in the ass
because you're
a bartender. We don't know if you want the large cube. we've got these prima donnas like yourself that want a large cube.
That's right. You large cube bastard.
And you're right. We don't put the straw in, especially nowadays with the ecological footprint.
You can't even get a straw anymore. And
I hate the paper straw.
Those are the worst. Try drinking whiskey through a paper straw. It's embarrassing.
Try drinking anything through a paper straw.
Hey, by the way.
Do you know the odd martini? The odd olives in a martini, right?
Because it messes up their lipstick. The girl wants a straw because it messes up their lipstick.
Final question for you, Tom, our professional bartender. When you make a martini, do you give them an odd number of olives?
It's always three.
Always three. Okay.
All right. Three.
Good job, Tommy. Appreciate it. I wonder, like, if you go to Yankee Stadium tonight and you're lucky enough to sit in the legend seats or the seats where you have, like, the legitimate fancy bars, right, where you have a lot of options.
Like the Steinbrenner box.
Like the Steinbrenner box that one of us may have sat in, yes. Something like that. I wonder, do they give you normal plastic straws? Or is that now like a New York City thing where you're not allowed to serve drinks with anything other than paper? Like, I know like a couple bougie places like avocado straws. Like, I wonder. Like, Big Zoo, he goes to a lot of games, and you seem to be a kind of guy that enjoys a spirit or two while you're at a game.
I definitely love some spirits.
Yeah.
You know?
Straw, plastic, or no?
I usually try to go without the straw, but at the games they're hooking it up with the straws.
Right?
Yeah. And I don't mind, you know, I'll drink it out of the straw, I'll drink it out of the thing, I'll throw the straw out, depends.
I mean,
but the paper straw,
that's the worst.
It's just disrespectful, bro.
Yeah, I tell you why though. Because you can't chew on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 100%. I love chewing on straws. I love it. I do it all day when I'm drinking. And if you don't get a plastic straw, you can't chew on it.
But
it's
even if
worst.
You don't chew on it, it just melts in
it
your
also
mouth.
Sucks.
It doesn't
You're right.
function
yeah.
as a straw.
It's like a
You're
piece
right.
of loose leaf in your mouth. You know, you don't want that.
No. No one wants loose leaf in their mouth.
Well, unless you're making spitballs. Then you do want it.
Have you guys tried the metal straws yet? Is that no good for you?
I've tried the metal straw. I don't like it. I don't like it. No, it's not for me. I'm an old school guy. I like cash in my pocket. I don't like having to use a card.
Maybe out
for
of a
everything.
Pineapple on a beach. That could be
a plug metal straw with a pineapple. No, doesn't work. Just a normal plastic everyday straw. So what? You kill a couple turtles. It's gonna happen. We can all live with three less turtles in the world. Like, I feel bad for the turtles, but they're going to be fine. The species isn't being killed off.
Turtles live a long time.
Yeah, and they live a long time. Oh, yeah, that poor turtle. He'll be fine. Yeah. 877-337-6666. As we move closer to Dana White joining us in about 10 minutes or so. Looking forward to talking to Dana and getting you ready for tonight's Yankee game exclusively right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.